A little-known chapter in the annals of music history is how funny music saved the life of the Hungarian composer Franz Liszt, who was growing increasingly despondent and indeed depressed after the bad public reception to many of his more recent, more challenging compositions. One day he found himself sat by the piano, reduced to simply playing a scale of A major up and down. Something remarkable happened. And then in walked Mr. Liszt's housekeeper. From this remarkable occurrence, the creativity and career of Franz Liszt were immediately revived. And in the process, he produced one of his most enduring and indeed most funny pieces of music. You're listening to Codpaste on WFMU.org with People Like Us and Ergo Fizmiz.
And the theme of this week's podcast is one of comedy, although actually that theme isn't very far away on any of the podcasts that we've been doing since for both of us it's very much a big part of what we do is try and communicate through a sense of humour or through being surreal, even without knowing it sometimes. I guess we like humour because it transcends language and communication and the trappings and fetters of the spoken word, as does music. And another thing, when people sort of say, oh, well, what's your inspiration or, you know, what sort of music do you listen to? I can't always say, actually, and really it's I find humour incredibly inspiring and funny people inspiring and not necessarily funny work or good work or good music, but it's the spirit of humour.
I feel there's a much closer parallel, certainly to the stuff that that we do with a lot of comedy and radio comedy and television comedy, and also, as you say, just the spirit of comedy rather than going to avant-garde music of the past 50 years. I feel there's a far closer parallel in humour, for example, huge influence on the way that I think about sound came from Spike Milligan and his particularly the sound design and the use of sound effects and music in The Goon Show.
Sir, there's a Mr. Seagoon outside for ye.
Oh.
He's fainted downwards. Send in the gentleman.
Ah, good morning.
Oh, good morning, Achaimon.
We are Neddy Seagoon.
Both of you?
Yes, both of us. You see, Neddy Seagoon was twins.
He's bigger than I thought.
There's Mr. Seagoon outside for you.
Run for it, Moriarty. Next, please.
Thanks. I am Neddy Seagoon.
Yes, but this gentleman, feigning a swoon on the floor, said he was Neddy Seagoon.
It's what a lie, Neddy, it's a lie.
No.
I was only saying I was Neddy Seagoon till you got here.
Yeah.
You don't want your shoes clean, do you? Then I was going to let you say it.
Well, now, this new gentleman fits the horrifying description given in these documents.
Eh? What?
Now, if you will put on these baggy bladder kilts, my partner, Mr. McRed Harry McLegs, here, will read Baron Seagoon's will.
I first discovered The Goon Show when I was a teenager, and there's something about this combination of strange voices and situations and the arrangement of the sound effects and the music, and the sound effects were always used to create amazing visual images. It's the only place where I've ever heard the sound, for example, of a pair of bagpipes leaving very, very quickly.
Next,
a pair of bagpipes running away. And there's also lots of wonderful conceptual jokes that are done with the sound effects. And it was this that really started to inspire me to to create collages of sounds, and also to combine acoustic with sampled elements, etc.
And
silly voices too.
Also, through humour, people can develop very complex ways of understanding the surreal. For instance, if you look at British humour and things like, The Goon Show, Spike Milligan, Monty Python, Little Britain, The Office. All those things are really quite bizarre humour, which require quite a lot of imagination in completing the jokes.
Next,
they don't give. It's not like knock, knock, who's there. It's more like knock, knock.
Next,
and that kind of thing is great because it can...
Next,
I don't want to say educate, but I mean it can get people used to surreal ways of thinking, which makes life far more fun and conversations more interesting. Knock, knock, who's there? It's more like knock, knock. Knock, knock, who's there?
Next, please.
Knock, knock, who's there? It's more like knock, knock. Knock, knock, who's there? Knock, knock, who's there? It's more like knock, knock. Knock, knock, who's there?
Next, please.
Knock, knock, who's there? It's more like knock, knock. Knock, knock, who's there?
Next, please.
Knock, knock, who's there?
Next, please.
Knock, knock, who's there? It's more like knock, knock. Knock, knock, who's there?
Next, please.
It's more like knock, knock.
Next, please.
Without wanting to destroy anyone's brain here, I actually looked up the psychology of humour in music. First, incongruous sounds making use of unusual sound sources. Example, kazoos and slide whistles. Sounds that are out of place. The humour derives from the incongruity of the sounds.
Next, please.
genres, mixing high art and low art, quoting well-known tunes from e.g. pop and classical. The listener recognises the tunes originate from different traditions and so enhance the success of incongruous juxtapositions. Drifting tonality. Abruptly shifting to a different key. The element of surprise and disruption creates amusing results. Downward shifts in key are funny because usually popular Western music shifts upwards. Metric disruptions. Eliminate or add extra beats to a measure. A three-quarter may gain an extra half a beat, for instance. Contradicts the listener's time-related expectations. Implausible delays. To delay highly expected resolutions. The holding of a note, for instance. Excessive repetition. Repeating a passage more times than is the usual form. The result being a broken record effect. 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 The result being a broken record effect.
One of the strange things about music and humour for me is that usually music isn't intended to be funny, and it's something perhaps of an unspeakable thing for music to be funny. Somehow it detracts from the quality of it, or at least that's the way that a lot of people seem to think about it. The piece in the background from Hooked on Classics to me is very, very funny. Although I wonder if Louis Clark, when he composed this version of the Can-Can, intended it to be funny, or was it a quite serious intention to make Offenbach fill the dance floors again? The intent of the Offenbach piece was funny because it was from a operetta, a musical comedy. But again, that takes us to another problem with music and humour, is that often you find with a piece of music that's funny that it's not necessarily the music that makes us laugh, but it's the lyrics.
I'm a farmer, I'm working in the evening and the day, bailing up me hay. I got a wax jacket and I wear it with me oilers every day. Do you hear what I say? I get up early and I leave me house. Go to the barn and I let out me cows. I lift up the latch and I open the gate. I do this every day about 8:30, cause I'm a farmer.
And then of course you get all sorts of parodies and things like Weird Al Yankovic and this kind of thing. But to me, this isn't as such comedy music. The joke isn't in the music as such, the joke's actually in the words and our association with the piece of music, if that makes any sense.
Very early on, I couldn't explain why, but certain kinds of foreign language records made me laugh, particularly German and Dutch speaking. The German sounded funny because it sounded so regimented, I guess. And also it's very visual, and I can't help but visualise what's going on when these bits of music are playing. And so if I can, just much the same as if I'm hearing a record by the Muppets.
Oh, who needs money when we're funny? Great attraction everywhere will be Simon Smith and his dancing bear. It's Simon Smith and his amazing dancing bear.
Together! Yes! Oh, yes!
I find it really funny, probably a lot funnier than if I was watching it as well, because I can imagine Fuzzy Bear saying something or Animal doing something, and so it's very visual. And so when I hear these people leaping around a little village hall on the mountains in Lederhosen, I don't really need to see it to find it incredibly funny. And the same goes for Yoda music. It's so visual, and it's not intended to be funny at all. And you know, I'm not laughing in a horrible way at it either, but it is funny.
The Ying Tong Song by the Goons is quite an exemplary piece of comic music, I think. Comedy in music. Possibly has all those things from the theory of comedy music. A sudden change to something else. Nonsense lyrics are always nice. And sometimes it's very funny, it's these very simple chord progressions, very simple performance of music. The primitive thing.
Incompetence cues. Musical passages performed in a crude or unrefined manner.
Music and sound effects. And now, Brass instrument is always good. And in some ways, this is parody too of that kind of music. Huh? That kind of early jazz, etc. And then these surrealist, I suppose, comedy juxtapositions of the opera thing with the singing fart.
Mixed genres, mixing high art and low art, quoting well-known tunes from e.g. pop and classical. The listener recognises the tunes originate from different traditions and so enhance the success of incongruous juxtapositions.
Spatial jokes.
Mm. Ying tong, ying tong, ying tong, ying tong, ying tong, in the life, where's he going, lad? Ying tong, ying tong, ying tong, in the life, oh, look out!
Excessive repetition.
So we're getting every sort of element of the sound. Of the possibilities of sound and radio and composition.
Incongruous sounds.
To create a world, really. And I suppose this was one of the things that really attracted me to working with Vicky in the first place, was that she uses sounds to create a world.
And this is why humour is so important to what we do, I think, because to both of us, humour is a key element in creating this world. And humour can be accomplished through, you know, I suppose, tricks in composition, but also uses sound effects and juxtapositions of sounds and all this malarkey.
Another thing that comedy or humour has in common with music is it's about timing and the way that... And also the way that silence is used in between the timing. For instance, a long silence can be very funny. A long silence can almost be as loud as the loudest noise. Often silence after repetition works really well in a humorous sense if you come back to the same repetition after a silence, because it's almost like hide and seek, where you know that the person is standing behind the door, but when they jump out you still scream because you know that it's going to come back in, and you're just waiting and waiting and waiting, and it's the suspense.
And what do we learn about comedy in music and musical comedy and humour in music? Well, nothing really. But we do have this.
This is what happens when a bunch of WFMU DJs are sitting around in the WFMU kitchen and decide to drop in on Sue Braun and have a sing-song.
Start up my senses.
Like a walk in the rain.
Here we go.
Here you go, you're right here.
Ah.
Like a storm in the desert. Like a sleepy blue ocean.
Make the text bigger, Scott.
You fill up my senses. Come fill me again.
So can you slow it down a bit?
Come let me love you.
You've been listening to Codpaste with People Like Us and Ergo Fismas. Full playlist and archives can be found at wfmu.org/playlists/CT.
Let me die in your arms. Let me lay down beside you. Let me always be with you. Come.
Like
the sleepy blue ocean. You fill up my senses. Come fill me
$60, you can get the premium CD.
That's 1-800-989-9368.
The marathon's over.
Now that was lovely.